Welcome to the deep dive. Imagine for a second that you know exactly how to solve a really complex problem.
Right.
You put in the hard work, you execute the method perfectly, you arrive at the final answer, and you still completely fail.
Ouch. Yeah, that is rough.
Right. But for thousands of students taking their math finals, this isn't some bad dream. It's what actually happens because of one tiny, almost invisible mistake.
It really is.
So today we're looking at a blueprint designed to fix exactly that.
And it is a phenomenal document to unpack. I mean, we are looking at this Intervention Implementation Plan, or the IIP.
Right, by an educator named Missy D.
Exactly. It's this incredibly authentic, highly granular strategy document.
Yeah.
And it's designed specifically for students taking their GCSE maths exams, which, for context, are the crucial high school qualifications in the UK.
And I think what makes this document so compelling is the timeline here, because this is a 22-week sprint.
Yeah, the clock is ticking.
Seriously ticking. These students are roughly 5 months away from sitting down in that exam hall. So our mission today is to deconstruct this whole intervention blueprint to discover really the exact science of closing the attainment gap.
Which is so notoriously difficult to do.
It is. And we'll explore why generic extra study hours, like, almost always fail. We'll look at the actual cognitive psychology behind why our brains betray us under pressure,
I love that part.
and how teaching the hidden rules of the game can just completely rewire a learner's confidence. Honestly, this is a masterclass in how to effectively learn anything on a tight deadline.
What's fascinating here is that while the document is strictly built for high school math, the psychology of human error it addresses is just completely universal.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, the systematic problem-solving applied to these specific kids, it translates to almost any high-stakes learning environment you or I might find ourselves in.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we get into the actual errors that students make,
Right.
we really have to look at the architecture of the plan itself.
The foundational philosophy.
Exactly. The core idea here is that intervention must be entirely diagnostic, not generic. It's like taking your car to the mechanic.
Oh, good analogy.
You don't just drop off the keys and say, like, it's making a weird noise and have them rebuild the entire engine from scratch.
Right. That would be incredibly inefficient.
You plug in a diagnostic tool to find the exact misfiring spark plug.
That is a perfect way to look at how this plan treats education. Because the diagnostic tools in this context are what the document calls PPE findings and QLA.
PC being pre-public examinations.
Yes, essentially full mock exams taken under real strict conditions. And then QLA is question-level analysis.
Right.
So the educators aren't just, looking at a final percentage on a test and say, you got a 60%. They are tearing apart the exam question by question.
Like data mining.
Exactly like data mining.
Yeah.
They're looking at the results to identify incredibly specific knowledge gaps versus misconceptions.
So wait, when they say misconception, I'm assuming that just means the student doesn't know the mathematical formula?
Actually, no. It's much more dangerous than that.
Really? How so?
Well, not knowing the formula is just a knowledge gap. You don't know it. But a misconception is when a student firmly believes they know the rule, but they are applying it entirely incorrectly.
Oh, so it's the illusion of competence.
Yes. The illusion of competence is a killer. So the intervention relies on pulling these students into small groups with a very clear, data-driven purpose.
Okay.
They run these short, high-impact sessions targeting those exact diagnosed misconceptions. Nothing generic.
I can totally see how that changes the dynamic. But if a diagnostic shows they actually know the underlying math, like they have the knowledge, why are they still failing the mock exams?
And that brings us to one of the most crucial insights in the entire document. The plan explicitly shifts the focus away from simply teaching mathematics.
Wait, a math intervention that doesn't focus on teaching math?
Exactly. It shifts to the explicit teaching of exam skills. They teach command words, mark schemes, and timing.
Meaning they are teaching the student how the examiner actually grades the paper, rather than just like how to solve for X.
Precisely. They are explicitly teaching the rules of the game. Because the math itself is, it's often only half the battle.
Right.
The document outlines that the real barrier, especially for those students on the borderline of passing, is their technique under the extreme psychological pressure of the exam hall.
But, you know, the document claims that this level of hyper-personalized targeting actively improves a learner's self-belief. And I found that so interesting.
Why is that?
Well, at first glance, pointing out a student's exact specific flaws seems like it would just crush their confidence. I mean, it sounds like handing someone an itemized receipt of all their failures.
That is such a fair point, but it raises an important issue about how humans process overwhelming situations.
Okay, I'm listening.
When a student is failing, generally, it feels like this massive insurmountable cloud. The internal narrative just becomes, I am fundamentally bad at math.
Yeah, it becomes an identity thing.
Exactly. But when you hand that same student a personalized target sheet that says, here's your current grade, here's your target grade, and here are the specific three micro skills holding you back.
The monster in the dark suddenly shrinks.
Yes. It becomes a localized, solvable problem. You aren't intrinsically bad at math. You just need to learn how to handle negative numbers in this one specific context.
Or remember to write down your unit conversions.
Right. It completely demystifies the failure.
That is so powerful. So let's actually look at the anatomy of those failures.
Let's do it.
Once you run that detailed question level analysis, what are the actual roadblocks? Because the document cites these examiner reports detailing the most common mistakes.
And just for context, they're focusing on students trying to progress from a grade 3 to a grade 5, which in the UK system means jumping from a failing mark to a solid pass.
And also from a grade 4 to a grade 7, right? Moving from a basic pass up to the equivalent of an A.
Right. And the trends are just shocking. The anatomy of a mistake at these critical boundaries, it is rarely about failing to grasp complex high-level calculus.
No, the errors are profoundly basic. The plan categorizes them into, quote, exam-specific misunderstandings and general exam technique errors.
Yeah.
And the number one massive hurdle, according to the examiner reports, simply misreading or misinterpreting the question.
But it happens so often.
The document notes that students constantly miss crucial command words. They'll look at a prompt, completely skip over the word simplify or show that, and just proceed to answer a completely different question than the one printed on the page.
Which is heartbreaking.
They lose all the marks, even if the mathematical method they use for their imaginary question was completely flawless.
Because under the pressure of a ticking clock, the human brain relies heavily on heuristics. It wants to save energy.
Right, cognitive shortcuts.
Exactly. So a stressed student sees a familiar pattern of numbers, and their brain just auto-fills the prompt based on the last 50 times they saw a similar pattern.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they just jump to a conclusion. And this is heavily compounded by time mismanagement.
Right. The document highlights that students either get totally bogged down and spend way too long on complex, low-yield questions,
yep,
or they completely panic and rush through the early, easier questions.
And that rushing forces careless, heartbreaking arithmetic errors. The cognitive load of the exam environment completely overrides their basic mechanical skills.
Which brings up, honestly, the ultimate tragedy of the math exam, the calculator error.
Oh, don't get me started.
I mean, isn't it incredibly frustrating that a student could perfectly understand how to set up a complex problem, know exactly what steps to take, make a tiny mistyped operation on their calculator, and walk away with a zero simply because they didn't write their steps down?
It happens constantly. The plan highlights not showing clear working as a critical failure point.
It's just so avoidable.
It really is. If a student relies purely on mental math or the calculator screen, and they make a minor typo, say they correctly set up a multi-step percentage problem but accidentally hit a 3 instead of a 2.
The examiner only sees the wrong final answer.
Exactly. Zero marks.
Yeah.
But if they had just written down the formula they intended to use, the examiner could award partial method marks.
The source material actually gives a great example of this. A student correctly knows the method. They multiply 6 by 20. They get 120.
Right.
But then their stressed brain makes a basic addition error in the final step. Or they're looking at a Venn diagram, and instead of taking the total population of 50, their eyes dart to the wrong circle, and they accidentally use the number 30.
Yes. We also see fundamental concept misapplications under stress.
Like what?
Well, the document points out that students frequently just drop negative signs halfway through an equation. Or they miss the radical sign entirely when dealing with square roots.
Oh, man.
They'll even do all the hard work to find the area of a shape and then just forget to include the basic units in their final answer, like square meters or the pound sign.
They are just leaving incredibly easy points on the table. I mean, it's the equivalent of running a grueling marathon and then stopping 2 feet before the finish line because you forgot you actually have to step over the tape.
Which is exactly why the intervention curriculum is built the way it is. Identifying these psychological pitfalls is the diagnostic part.
Right.
But actually rewiring a teenager's brain to stop making those errors under pressure, that requires a very specific mechanical approach.
Well, let's look at the mechanics of that approach then, because the document outlines an intensive 8-week curriculum blueprint, which basically forms the core of this 22-week sprint.
Right.
And the strategy heavily prioritizes what they call grade 4/5 boundary content and high yield content.
High yield content is such a brilliant concept of resource management.
Explain that a bit more.
It basically means analyzing past papers to identify the specific mathematical topics that are literally worth the most marks and appear with the highest frequency.
Right, because you only have 22 weeks. You cannot rebuild a student's entire 10-year foundation of mathematics in 5 months.
You simply can't. You have to teach the student how to navigate the test environment as efficiently as possible with the tools they currently have in their toolbox.
And the weekly rhythm they use to do this is just incredibly systematic.
Very regimented.
Like week one is dedicated entirely to number operations, fractions, decimals, percentages. But they aren't just teaching the concepts.
No, not at all.
The document provides examples of the type of questions they use, like finding a percentage of a monetary value, like work out 18% of 150 pounds.
Right.
Or complex division strings, like simplify 28 divided by 4 multiplied by 3. But the real magic seems to be in the reflection portion of the session.
Yes, the explicit reflection is where the behavioral change actually happens. In week one, the plan forces students to reflect on 3 specific actions before moving on.
And those are?
Check your units, show your full working, and estimate first.
Okay, that estimate first instruction is so clever.
It's a game changer.
Right. If you force a student to look at a problem and guess that the answer should be around 20, and then their calculator spits out 2,000 because of a typo,
their brain instantly catches the discrepancy.
Exactly. But if they don't estimate first, they just blindly trust the glowing screen.
It acts as a cognitive circuit breaker. It literally short circuits the panic reflex.
That makes so much sense.
And then week two moves into negative values, which involves combining basic operations with negative numbers. They tackle those nasty equations where the order of operations tries to trip you up with hidden negative signs like workout -7 + 12 × -2.
And the reflection for week two explicitly focuses on highlighting missed sign errors.
Yep.
Every single week follows this exact rhythm. It starts with a mental arithmetic warm-up to build fluency. Then it moves into a 20-minute mini-test focusing purely on exam-style phrasing. And ends with that targeted reflection.
But, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture of the intervention, the most powerful tool isn't the mini test itself. It's what the document calls the 3-weekly question practice review.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Because the students are assigned one specific high-yield exam question per week, but the teacher doesn't grade it.
Right.
The students mark it themselves using the actual official mark schemes provided by the exam board.
And giving a 16-year-old the examiner's actual mark scheme fundamentally changes their psychology.
How so?
It demystifies the authority of the exam. Suddenly, grading isn't this opaque, mysterious judgment handed down from above.
Right. It's not just a teacher with a red pen deciding your fate.
Exactly. It becomes a transparent set of rules.
Yeah.
They see exactly why a method mark is awarded, even if the final answer is totally wrong.
And then the pupils visually track their own marks on a graph over time. I look at this and it feels like a fitness tracker for your brain.
That's a great way to put it.
It's making invisible cognitive progress totally visible.
That visual tracking is crucial for sustaining motivation. And the 8-week blueprint uses this iterative loop to keep that progress moving. By week 8, the plan ties everything together with a full mock exam and a complete reflection session.
So they sit for a 45 to 60 minute exam practice.
Yes, and then the educators complete a brand new gap analysis.
So they basically run the diagnostic tool all over again.
Exactly. They generate a new, updated personal improvement plan. It's a constant iterative loop of diagnosis, targeted treatment, and reevaluation. They are constantly adjusting the aim based on new data.
I mean, the curriculum mechanics are airtight, but even the most brilliant, perfectly optimized 8-week syllabus will completely collapse if the learner isn't actually showing up, right?
Oh, 100%.
Or if their environment just doesn't support the effort.
Which brings us to the ecosystem this plan builds around the student, because the logistics detailed in this document are intense.
They leave absolutely nothing to chance. The environmental scaffolding is just as rigorous as the academic content. The schedule outlined to prevent disengagement in the final term is aggressive.
Very.
They have intervention groups scheduled during regular lessons, from lesson 1 through lesson 5. They have early morning enrichment sessions running from 8:10 to 8:40. They are utilizing break times, working through lunch periods, and offering one-to-one drop-in sessions all the way until 3:20 in the afternoon.
And then on top of that, the parental involvement section mandates a very tight communication loop.
Right.
Parents receive letters detailing the exact timetable, the specific purpose of the intervention, and the clear expectations required. The goal is to ensure the parents can actively support attendance and reinforce the revision habits at home.
Wait, okay. Looking at the schedule, pulling them out of lessons, early morning enrichments, forcing them to work through their lunch breaks, and now adding heavy parental expectations at home.
Yeah.
These are 15 and 16-year-old kids. Aren't we just going to completely burn them out before they even reach the exam hall? Like, is this creating too much pressure on the student? Or is it exactly the kind of scaffolding they need to avoid feeling lost? This feels like a pressure cooker.
That is such a valid concern. It raises an incredibly important question about the delicate balance between necessary support and just overwhelming pressure.
Right.
But if you read closely, the plan actually addresses this burnout risk beautifully by building in an emotional counterweight.
Okay, I'm curious. How so?
Yes, the scheduling is undeniably rigorous, but it is heavily balanced by an entire system of morale boosting. The document specifically outlines the mandatory celebration of small wins, those visual improvement graphs we talked about earlier.
Yeah, the fitness trackers.
Exactly. They're used to constantly show the student that the hard work is paying off. And furthermore, they incorporate tangible rewards, certificates, vouchers, public recognition.
So the accountability systems, you know, the attendance tracking, the letters home, they aren't designed to be punitive.
Not at all. They aren't punishments. They are a safety net. The stated mission of the plan is raising whole school outcomes.
Yeah.
And explicitly preventing disengagement.
Wow. Okay.
Think about it from the student's perspective. When you feel like nobody is watching and you are already struggling, the easiest thing in the world is to just slip through the cracks and give up entirely.
Yeah. It's a form of rigorous empathy.
That's a brilliant way to phrase it. Rigorous empathy.
The ecosystem is essentially telling the student, we are watching closely. We know the exact mechanical error you need to work on. We will give you the time to fix it, and we are going to celebrate you loudly when you get it right.
And that combination of rigorous empathy and hyper-targeted instruction is exactly why this blueprint is so incredibly effective at closing the attainment gap.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now?
Good question.
Because chances are you aren't prepping to take a high school math exam in 22 weeks.
Probably not.
But whether you are studying for a complex professional certification or trying to master a new language or managing a team's professional development in the workplace, the underlying mechanics of Missy D's intervention plan apply perfectly to your life.
Absolutely. The universal truth to take away here is that throwing generic extra effort at a struggling project is a massive waste of resources.
Yes.
Don't just read the textbook again. Don't just put in more hours doing the exact same thing.
You need to plug in the diagnostic tool. You need to identify your exact gaps and really understand the crucial difference between a simple missing fact and a fundamental misconception in how you are applying your knowledge.
Right.
You need to practice with the real mark schemes of whatever field you're operating in, so you understand exactly how success is actually being measured.
It's all about the mark schemes.
And critically, you need to track your small wins visually so you don't lose morale when the pressure hits.
And never forget that the environment you build around your learning, the accountability structures, the scheduling, the specific time set aside for reflection on your mistakes, is just as vital as the actual content you are trying to master.
Which brings us to a final thought for you to mull over. We saw in this source material that explicit teaching of the rules of the game, you know, the mark schemes, the command words, the time management, is very often the actual barrier to success, rather than the complexity of the subject itself.
Yeah, that's the real barrier.
So if you were to map out the mark schemes of your own career progression or your personal goals right now, what are the actual unwritten rules you are being graded on? And what easy, valuable points are you leaving on the table simply because you aren't showing you're working? It's time to stop blindly throwing effort at the problem and start finding your exact gaps.